going to read Luke 15. If you've got your Bible, verse 20. Luke 15. I'm going to actually jump around quite a bit. So I'm actually just going to read one verse there. And then we're going to, as a rule, don't read from my phone. But I would like the New Living Translation. I had my whole message for tonight, which is normally not very long, but I had it all prepared yesterday afternoon. I was done Saturday lunchtime, which is not normally the case in the Wade House, but I was done and dusted. And then this morning in intercession, I felt God saying to change it. So I'm going to jump between because I didn't have it all printed out and all of that. So Luke 15 verse 20, this is the prodigal son. He is coming home. And Jesus is saying, he's now telling this the story of the prodigal son. So he, the son, returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Listen to this. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. And I am, as you know, we like Wimbledon. We're not so very much a fan of pretty much any other sport, but once a year we watch Wimbledon for 2 weeks. And on Friday afternoon, it was the semifinals, and two guys were playing, a guy called Medvedev and Carlos Alcaraz. And I'm trying to figure out why I like Alcaraz, and I think it's mostly because of his family. They had a replay after he won, and it was a 5-set. It was long. They played forever. It was tight. It was long. And he won in the fifth. It was really close. And they had a replay because he won and the crowds are cheering and he was hands in the air excited. But they replayed it and they scanned his box where his people sit in. And guys, before the coach could jump up, and look, he's Spaniard, so I think there's quite a lot of emotion in there. But before anybody in his box where his coaching team, his brothers, he's got two younger brothers, they had all the matches as well. Before any of them could cheer or jump up, his dad went ballistic. I mean, the dad jumped up, and he was probably halfway in the air, just so excited about his son winning. And I mean, the mom was forever crying, so I see there's always one of the younger sons that's patting the mom on the back saying, it's okay, he's going to make it. But the dad's emotion. And Margaret looked at me and she's like, please, Mom, don't cry again. But in that moment, I was so moved by this dad cheering on his son. And I was like, why am I getting emotional? It's just tennis. What's going on? And I went to the kitchen to prepare a meal and I felt God saying, that's how I feel about you. And you know, I'm going to speak about me tonight. Maybe you can relate with me. I get it when we just get saved. We enter, you know, our Father's arms. We run home. The prodigal son who screwed up. I get that. I was once a prodigal. I think all of us were once that one. But what I felt the Holy Spirit say on Friday night, he said, yes, I was happy when you came home, but I'm cheering you on every single day. The way that dad cheered on his boy in the semifinals. And I got so moved realizing that my Heavenly Father is jumping out of his seat because you know what? Our three kids, I see with them, it's not very often that I have to tone them down. No, William, I think you may be a little bit overconfident about that test. Or you're really being too blasé about that. Most of the times, I have to encourage. Most of the times, I have to say, you can do it. No, it's not that bad. You're going to be amazing. Keep going. You know, you're doing so much better than you think. You know, you're really amazing. And the test marks, I think it's amazing. You did so well. You know, the world is so, there's so many voices discouraging, saying we're not enough. We're telling ourselves we're not enough. And I felt this Father heart of God saying, you know, I didn't just once celebrate when you as a prodigal came home, but I'm cheering you. I'm jumping out of my seat every day because I see how hard you try. I see when you get up to go to work in Disney Lakini. I see when you have to bite your tongue because I want to say something back to the boss in Disney Lakini. I see when you tried with your kids and it didn't happen God says, I'm cheering you on. Because you know how quickly it goes. We go down this thing and we get negative and we break ourselves down. And I felt, I just want to read a couple of more verses about this God who's so excited about us. And he's not just excited about us making a choice for him. Yes, that's, I mean, a party in heaven. But he's excited every single day. Deuteronomy 1, I'm going to start in verse 30. It says, the Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Now listen to this, verse 31. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place. You know, we read this and we think, yes, God got the Israelites into the promised land. But God carried them. He says, I carried you like you carry your son. Like you carry, not, I mean, Christina jumped up for me to carry and hold her in worship. I had to sit down after a while because she's not a baby anymore. But that's the heart of God saying, I'm carrying you. I'm with you. If we carry on to 1 John 3:1, it's just a beautiful word that I like here. It says here, behold, what manner of love the Father has, the New King James says bestowed, but another version, I don't know which one, says lavished upon us. Huh? Behold, what manner of love the Father, 1 John 3:1, has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That's the love he lavished on us. Hy het op ons uitgestort. That's how much he loves us. He's not a God that says, I'm really proud of you at a distance. He's a God that lavishes his love, jumping out of his seat, cheering you on when you did something difficult, when you're thinking you failed and he sees that you tried really hard. You know how often we see it? I had to teach a session at, I was so moved, at, on Friday morning, at the, what do you call these people, MTP, it's a different show for congregations that sends people in for training that want to become a pastor, I suppose, or in ministry, they want to be in ministry. So they have different intakes, I think, twice a year, and they asked me to come and teach a session on Friday morning, and I went through, and I had 3 hours with them. I said, oh, goodness, I'm going to kill you if I speak for 3 hours. Somebody's going to die. We're not going to do that. So I took about 45 minutes because we had that much time, and I asked them each to introduce themselves and tell me a little bit about their story. And the one guy, he's already a pastor, he's a pastor in Polokwane. He said that he tells his story, but he said he was part of a church plant in Hermanus out of Levende Woord. From Pretoria, they planted a church from Levende Woord in Hermanus. And he said, but the church plant failed. And when I failed, I didn't have a job. And Andres and Lisa, the Shafa and Manas congregation in Werner, took him in. And anyways, and he basically served with them for 2 or 3 years and then got post to the Shafa Polokwane congregation. And he mentioned it 2 or 3 times that they failed. They failed. Oh, and it gripped me. And I stopped him and I said, why do you think it failed? Did you hear God speaking? Do you feel... You heard when you left Pretoria, you and your leadership team, not just you, the leadership team, did you guys feel that you were hearing from God? Yes, we did. Did you really seek the Lord's heart? Yes, we did. So I said, but then you didn't fail. Then you tried to step out in obedience, and it didn't work out. That's not a failure. That's a, God, I tried to be obedient. That's Peter throughout the Bible. I mean, Peter tried and failed, and I told him, I don't know if I'll ever be invited back because I said we need to be comfortable with failure. We have to be. Otherwise, we're never going to get out of the boat. Otherwise, we're never going to try anything if we're not going to get comfortable. And praise God, our failures are not recorded like Peter's failures in the Bible for everybody to read. I mean, poor Peter. He tried his real best and Jesus called him, get behind me, Satan. Can you imagine? I'm like, oh, dank die Here, my goed word nie in die Bible opgeteken vir allemaal om te lees nie. But we have to realize that I think God, success in the kingdom is different. It's good and faithful servant. It's not necessarily, and I do believe God wants our businesses and our churches to flourish, but it's whether we were faithful when we heard him speak. And I told him on Friday, I said, if one of my kids, if they really tried to fold all the washing for me, chances are it's not going to be folded the way I want it folded. And most of the times, especially when they're younger, not now they do very well, but when they're younger, I'm probably having to refold it. So it wasn't actually a success. But what did I see? I saw their hearts to please me. So do I see it as a failure? No. That's the heart of God. He's so much better at parenting us than we are. But we are so hard on ourselves. And I just felt tonight God saying, I am cheering you on. I see your heart that you want to do. You want to follow me. If you are really trying to follow God and it looks like a failure, I want to ask you to ask the people around you, am I really a failure? Chances are they're going to tell you no. The enemy is lying to you. So let's go to Isaiah 40, verse 11. This one I'm also going to read out of the New King James. I've just got a couple more that I'm going to read, and I actually want just the scriptures to speak to you. So if you need to close your eyes while I read it, you can do that. It says here, he who is God will feed his flock, that's me and you, like a shepherd. That's the way Richard spoke last week about Psalm 23, how the shepherd, he doesn't drive us from the back with a stick or with a sweep. In these days, the shepherd let them forward the sheep with his voice. That's the shepherd, the good shepherd we follow. He will carry the lambs in his arms, the kleinkies, those that are new, those who are weak, those who are new in the faith. He carries them in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. This was so encouraging to me when my kids were small. Because when your kids are small, most of you have had small kids. It's a different phase. You think you should be moving a lot faster than you should. I should be able to get a shower before 12 o'clock. I mean, all I need to do is take care of one little one and get myself through a shower. And some days it just didn't happen. Well, at least in the White House, it didn't happen. And I feel God is saying, he encouraged me so many times, saying, I will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. The Here is so veel meer gracious. He's so much more gentle and gracious than we are. Matthew 10. Here it is. Okay. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin. But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. How does God number? I'm sure he knows it, but it's also intentional. If I don't intentionally come close to William's head to see what's going on here, I'm not going to know. That's God. Yes, I know he can look and probably say 5,212,000 or whatever, but that's his intentionality. He knows the hair, the amount of hair on our head. That's how intentional it is. I sometimes wonder if we can see if I wake up at night, does he sit right here? Does he sit here waiting for me to wake up? Does he sit here? Because I do it with my kids. They're beautiful when they sleep. Have you guys seen? And the lights is a waspop. I'm like, wow. I go in and I just look. And very often I call Rich and I say, come and look at this. Just come and look. You don't know it, but we watch you. It's checular. And I think that's what God does. You haven't seen Vanaka. You get that little one. You think she's the most beautiful thing this world has ever seen. And you get so tired and you say, please go to bed. Sleep, sleep, sleep. And then she sleeps for 5 minutes. And then you risk opening that door. Want jy wil sien? That's how much, I mean, we are imperfect parents. That's the God who loves us. And then I'm going to end with Zephaniah. Zephaniah 3:17. Is it Rach? You got it. You know this one. It says there, for the Lord your God, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. That's fancy words for saying he really likes us. He doesn't just love you, he likes you. You know these people that's been married for forever? They love each other, but I don't really know if they like each other. You've all seen them, ne? And then you get people, my parents are an example of this. Oh my goodness, they don't just love each other. I can see they really like each other. Hulle karring mekaar. They tease each other. They play with each other. They want to be with each other all the time. My mom used to go, and we would go as kids, ugh. She did it the other day. She's a grandmother. They're turning 70 this year. And she went and sat flat on my dad's lap. She said, boom. And he's watching TV. And my dad's like, what are you doing? She says, I'm sitting here because I don't want you to watch TV. I want you to watch me. And I thought, she likes him. And that's God. He likes us. They play with each other because they like each other. There's love and then there's like. And for our marriages, I believe God wants us to like and love and enjoy. And he wants us to enjoy him. He's our husband. Okay, let's carry on. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. Wow. With his love, he will calm all your fears. I am convinced if we see him, if we see his eyes, there will be no fear, no worries. And then the last one, he will rejoice over you with joyful song. He will rejoice over you. Now, I don't know about you, but I cannot rejoice with a joyful song unless my body is doing it with me. And I'm not a very good dancer. So if God is rejoicing over us with a joyful song, then the God of the universe is not sitting on his throne and just watching it all happening there. He's rejoicing and he's dancing and he's singing over us, over his kids. Hi? Okay, so I'm going to pray for us. Let's stand. Father, we thank you, God, that you don't just love us, God, that you like us. Thank you, Father, that you are cheering us on. God, where we're so hard on ourselves very often, God, where the world wants to tell us we're not making it, we're not good enough, we're not cutting it. Thank you that tonight, God, we see in your word that you are saying we are doing well, God, that you rejoice over us, Father. Thank you that you like us, God. God, as we come into your presence, thank you that there is joy, Lord. I pray for people who lack joy, God, for all of us, myself included. Lord, we want more of your kingdom. We want more joy. Come and fill our mouths with laughter, God. Let us not be too serious, God, but let us enjoy you. Let us enjoy each other, Father, in Jesus' name.